Hi, everybody. Welcome to FNS Wrestling Podcast. I am your host. With me, as always, my co-host and teenage son, Jackson. Say hello.
Hi.
You like I added co-host in there?
Yeah, thank you.
I think that's only fair, right?
I think that is fair.
Right? Yeah, you should have complained sooner because you're more than just the son. You're the co-host here, right?
Yeah. So,
anyways, we're back down in the studio. Me for my second time today. I did a ROH solo mission.
Did you manage to get it on YouTube
yet? Nope. I'm trying for the third time to get it on YouTube. It's still not
going. So far, it's maybe it'll change by the time you're hearing this.
But I may give up. It's everywhere but YouTube.
At the moment, it's not on YouTube, but I'm sure most people will listen to it elsewhere.
Yeah, YouTube is a very small
percentage. Not a lot of people are going to be hurting on that one, I think.
No. And let's be honest, the ROH ones are not the most popular, so I'll try and get it up there again, but I don't know. It processes to 95% and then just stops.
Going to tally our thing again.
Oh, yeah. So we're just going to take a look at last night's NXT In Your House Takeover show that, we finished.
Takeover.
Watched it all in one shot, pretty much live, and then thought we would come down here tonight and talk about it. We did do predictions, and
we forgot to do them, like, on...
Do you want to do them as we go, or can I just spoil the whole thing here? Without giving details, we basically got everything correct, right?
No.
Except the main event.
And another thing.
Did we miss another one?
Yeah,
we did, sorry.
Ladder match.
Oh, that's right. I thought we had both picked that one right as well. I forgot. It wouldn't have been great.
Yeah, we're rooting for LA Knight.
It wouldn't have been great podcasting because we did make all the exact same picks. So I don't regret not
Except
putting it on
the
show
event.
For that. But didn't you switch?
Oh, right. But you never changed it. So it looks like I...
Well, you're wrong either way, but...
You're wrong either way.
I only picked once, but...
Yeah, well, you still got wrong.
I thought we would start out by just sort of... I'm going to ask you a couple questions. What was your excitement level going into this pay-per-view? Sort of relative to other takeovers.
I was looking forward to, like, certain matches, but, like, oh, yay, Xia Li versus Mercedes Martinez.
So like, that was the one you were least interested in.
Yeah, and the ladder match.
I would probably agree.
Just because, like, I don't know, they don't. And especially, you could have put a tornado tag match on the show, but they didn't.
Right, and what were you most looking forward to?
The main five-way, event? For sure.
Yeah.
Just because I kind of knew it was going to be
Yeah, good. I thought on paper it didn't look like the best lineup, but they almost always deliver. I want to say always, but maybe there's been one takeover I didn't love, but it's
or
been
like,
pretty much
like
all of them
less.
I have. Yeah. I was kind of the same. I was really looking forward to the match for all the six-man tag match I thought should be really fun and the main event. And I figured Gonzalez Moon would be pretty solid, too.
I wasn't necessarily excited for it, but I wasn't like...
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like the Lee Martinez deal.
Yeah,
know?
My issue was some of these weren't, and I think I say it in my final wrap-up, so it'll come out again, but there wasn't, like, a match that I was just dying to see, right? There wasn't...
I was quite looking forward to the main event, but I wasn't, like...
But that's because it's, like, five good wrestlers. It's not because there's an amazing story built towards
that was
it,
kind of. Yeah, that's because there's four good wrestlers and also Karrion Kross.
Yeah. So, right. So I don't know. Some of the builds weren't ideal, but again, if I walk away from the night watching the pay-per-view going, wow, I had a really good time watching that, then it really doesn't really matter. Right. So I say we get into talking about this. What do you think?
Sure.
All right. So this is us talking about In Your House from NXT.
Takeover.
Takeover. Yes. So one thing I wanted to note right away is that the virtual fan screens are gone because they did, what did we say, 300 plus fans they were letting into this?
So yeah, they basically replaced the Thunderdome-like screens.
With people.
With people, yeah.
Which was lovely. And they did have an In Your House set on the entrance stage.
Which had the what they tend to do now,
the
takeover
door.
Ramp that like goes to, that's like level with the apron.
Right. And then a door on the top of the stage and that
and
whole
the,
like 90s retro
look,
vibe to
right.
it.
Basically an homage to In Your House pay-per-views.
Very much so.
Of old.
And then we start out with, of course, everybody's favorite, Naomi Fox.
I literally only knew who she was because I saw her name on the Tron.
I have never heard of her. She is obviously a performer, a musician,
like
I'm guessing.
It seemed like her lyrics, like the vocals were dubbed over. Like, it was her, but like obviously it wasn't like live.
It didn't feel like she was actually singing. I thought it
like
was...
Like it like had been previously recorded of her singing.
I thought it was kind of awkward because it's just her out there on stage alone, not really singing, I don't think.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe, but...
It wasn't... It was okay,
and it was kind of like a retro sounding song too, a little bit.
It was okay,
which fits the brand and the theme, yeah, so that's fine.
Whatever.
They then introduced Todd Pettengill as the host, because he, again, this is sort of a retro thing. He was on the original ones, right? So, he
looks old.
I actually didn't mind his use here because they really didn't overdo it, right? Like, he wasn't on a lot, and he just did quick little things. And I get it; they're going for that super cheesy, they know it's cheesy nostalgia, so I actually didn't have a problem with his use. He wasn't, I didn't think, overused on this, so it was fine. Yep. I thought he doesn't say much here, just basic host stuff, and then MSK's music hits, and I think this was a good idea for an opener, right? We get MSK and Bronson Reed versus Legato. You don't like my notes that it's Legato. Always Legato.
It's no, you say Legato.
Oh, I say? Weren't you? Did you go and fix all of mine?
I did fix it. You're welcome.
We're sharing a Google
Doc.
And he went through
and
fixed.
You did a PH on the Phantasma.
Probably. I'm special like that.
Yeah, I fixed. You're welcome.
Yeah, I didn't. It never thanked you, but anyways. So,
you're welcome, dude.
Six-man tag match for all the gold right here. The winner takes everything.
Yoppers.
And we both, I believe, predicted Reed and MSK win this, so yeah. Let's see what happenings. Let's see what happenings. So this saw Reed basically send Escobar the finish sort of sequence. I think he had grabbed the belts off of the table or whatever, and then they sort of redid that where he gets smushed up against the plexiglass by Reed, but this time he actually gets smashed right through the barrier and the plexiglass. And then MSK double team Wild at ringside. They take him out, and that leaves Mendoza in the ring on his own. Mendoza gets hit with a super kick in midair before MSK hit their double team finisher, the Blockbuster Spinebuster. That sets up Reed connecting with his Tsunami Splash on Mendoza for the pinfall.
Which was a pretty good sequence.
It was.
Like a double finisher deal.
I thought so. So Reed and MSK retain all the titles here. Some notable stuff I saw. Legato were all wearing masks for their entrance here.
Yeah, I remember.
Joaquin Wilds isn't my favorite, but.
Yeah, it looks. I remember Mendoza had one, and it was. I can't remember.
And Escobar's was like.
I thinking it was weird.
Just pieces of one, kind of.
Oh, yeah, Escobar's was weird. It looked like, I mean, he was going for like a Terminator.
It was like a partial mask, kind of.
And then I remember. I think Mendoza's was weird. I don't remember it exactly.
Great details. It was weird.
I just remembered thinking it was weird and maybe not liking it. I don't know.
And I think if it's a battle, then the Legato definitely win the entrance battle because they look really good. They actually got the last entrance here as the non-champions, which is a bit of a surprise. I thought they looked really cool.
Right.
Commentary point out that these guys are very familiar with each other and may need to pull out some new stops. They have sort of been involved with each other for quite a while now. So I thought that was a nice little nugget. We had Escobar tags out to avoid Reed. That was kind of the story near the beginning, right? Was that nobody really wanted to tag in and face Reed. I think they had to give Mendoza sort of hype him up to get in there and face Reed as well. We got a senton by Reed to Wild as MSK were sort of stretching him out, just lifting him off the mat, taking that senton. We had a tope suicida by Reed to everybody. That was pretty impressive. Really big guy flying through the ropes there. We had a double Samoan drop by Reed that he's been doing lately as Wild. That was a bit awkward, right? Remember, Wild just sort of hops on top. Like, he was totally willing participant in this double Samoan drop. But
right.
The end result looked cool anyways. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, really nice Michinoku driver by Escobar to, like, a 350-pound
right.
Bronson Reed that looked really cool.
I don't know if it was mentioned yet, but I remember, like, they did like a triple team where like they assisted Wild in a 450 splash.
Oh, that's right.
And I thought they were going to go for like their rebound moonsault thingy-majiggy, but
they flipped them extra.
Right, they flipped them into a kind of a standing 450 or
It was cool. I did not cool. make note of that already. Legato hit their finisher, but the pinfall's broken.
Yeah, it was like a really good transition.
They nailed it.
Like,
yeah.
Mendoza tagged in. Like, I don't remember. Like, I remember like Wild kind of rolled into like at the Russian leg sweep position.
Yep.
But. It was a really like clean transition into their like kicks leg sweep finisher.
It looked really nice. I thought it was so too.
Pretty sick.
But the pinfall's broken up by Wesley, who kind of flies in out of nowhere.
Oh yeah, that was cool. He kind of like does like a thing because Mendoza was pinning right. And so Wild was standing there, and so Lee kind of like runs off because the ramp is level with the ring.
Right.
So he kind of runs, drives over the ropes, and it was pretty good because like he and Wild landed firmly on the pin, so it did look like a decent breakup.
Like it would actually break up a pinfall.
Right.
Where sometimes it's just like they tag you on the back and
right.
it's over.
Right.
And then I thought also just the scene where Escobar got squashed through the barricade. I thought that looked pretty. It looked pretty good, right?
That was cool, yeah.
Made for a nice visual.
It was kind of weird where, how he grabbed the towel and he was like just shouting at the camera for some reason. He was just like, he was getting like far. That confused me.
And then got smashed.
Right.
Yeah, so they were the champions retained. What did you think of the match to open?
So I thought this was a really great opener. I thought the crowd was pretty good, like for the amount of people that were there.
I thought so. Yeah.
I think it should have felt maybe a little bigger considering it was like the winner take all match. I think that's what you said, a little bit of the same, right?
I think because we both were pretty confident who was winning, and that sometimes that just takes away a little bit.
Yeah, it could have used a little more time, I think, too. Maybe boot that unnecessary second women's match. Because I think the ladder match actually did better than I expected. But for what this was, I think I really liked it. A smart choice for an opener. I think Escobar would make a great North American champ eventually. I think Wild and Mendoza really improved as a team. But I think the result was a good choice. And I think MSK have an unfinished feud of sorts with Grizzly Young Veterans.
Yeah, I think that might be waiting,
and I think
right?
a positive about Reed retaining is I hope he feuds with Swerve and Swerve wins.
Yeah, that would be what we've kind of wanted since Swerve got really cool, right? Was for him to move up to
that. Yeah, I kind of like, as good as Reed's doing, I really just want him to be a stepping stone for Swerve.
I think Reed's doing well too, but I think it's kind of Swerve's time. Maybe a little bit longer, but not much. I think it's time to hit.
Yeah, that's fair.
Hit while they're hot.
That's what I'm thinking.
I thought this was a fun opener too. Kind of felt like an excellent like TV main event or something more. Something about it didn't feel quite pay-per-view to me. I don't know. Maybe it was just...
I think if it was improved a little more, then I think it could have...
And if I really thought there was a chance they were going to lose the titles, you know, because that I like that stipulation that it's all or nothing sort of thing, but I kind of felt like I knew who was going to win. But anyways, the final few minutes were an awesome pace that I was kind of hoping for throughout, but I still think this was a really good match. Escobar is like... Just that story he's telling of not really wanting to face Bronson Reed because they're really trying to build Reed as this like colossus, kind of like typhoon, earthquake type of character, it feels like almost. Lots of speed and crazy dives and things as expected from these guys. I thought this was a very smart choice for an opener, and I sound critical of it, but I actually really did enjoy it quite a bit.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of an adjustment, I thought, to go from a packed arena of rabid fans for AEW to like 300 fans here. So there is a bit of a difference, obviously.
I find it odd that they were just willing to do it for WrestleMania.
Right.
Right, and then, like, I feel like you can.
But was that outdoors? Is that why? That would be a big difference, probably.
That's true. And AEW is also
I thought that was an excellent opening match, for sure. And looking back at it, probably, definitely the right choice for the opener, I think, right? We then get some parking lot shenanigans between some of the main event participants. Basically, the idea, we get little vignettes throughout that... They just sort of can't wait to get at each other in this match, and they've been sort of having altercations throughout the day in the parking lots and in the building and stuff. So a little glimpse of that. And then there was another Todd Pettengill sort of segment here, and basically the idea is he's still using VHS, I guess, was
the
idea.
I don't know. It was kind of a...
I know. But again, it was really quick, and they were out of there. And then they show us highlights of Mercedes Martinez defeating Xia Li at the Mae Young Classic back whenever that was.
Right, just another reminder of, like, this is their only history.
Their only history that they keep going. And I do like that they go back to the history, but that's really only... Your history is basically you beat me once, right? Like, that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Which is something, but it's not anything for
it's
a major feud,
much,
I don't think.
Yeah.
So this one, the finish sort of comes after... Martinez has Li up on her shoulders, trying to connect with her air raid crash finisher. But Xia Li fights free, delivers a spin kick, sort of like a tornado spinning kick to knock out Martinez.
Right, which I think is her finisher.
For the pinfall, it is, and it looks pretty good. After the match, Xia Li gets a chair from Boa, goes to attack, but Martinez stops her and grabs the chair. She hits Boa and then Li, and then Boa again with the chair, then Li again. Martinez beats Li with the chair, and finally Tien Sha, who's been sitting up on her throne, whatever it is, on the stage the whole time, she finally stands up and starts to advance slowly. Martinez isn't scared, calls Sha on. Sha continues to walk forward slowly. Martinez advances until they're basically face to face. Then we get, I don't know, it looks like a modified Tongan death grip by Sha. A chair shot by Martinez to little effect, I think, right? And then back to this Tongan death grip, and she sort of throws Mercedes Martinez off the stage into the barricade. And then Tien Sha, the group leave Martinez lying, and they just sort of walk off. Right. Some other notable stuff that happened. Lee came out with a really big sword and some long, colorful hair. I think that was new, right? The hair? Seemed to be getting in her way a little bit at the beginning of the match. Lee was targeting Martinez's midsection that I think was already hurt from something else. At one point, Lee was trying to sell a bit of a leg injury. Martinez did what they called a cliffhanger that I hadn't seen before. It looked pretty cool. That was the razor's edge into a DDT kind of thing. I don't know if you remember that, but it was cool.
Yeah, that was cool. That's probably like highlight.
I noticed that commentary have no clue if it's Mei Ying or Tian Sha. They just kind of go with one
and
or
like,
either.
They went through the whole effort of seeing Mei Ying transform to Tian Sha.
And they don't know, so which is what it is.
That's what kind of angers me when they call her Mei Ying.
Right. At one point, Boa pulled Lee out of the way to stop sort of the Martinez onslaught, but Martinez shoves him and then hit a nice back body drop to Lee on the floor. That's about it for highlights. This match, what did you think of it? Go ahead, take the
lead. I thought this was a decent match. Really did feel like a TV match, though.
That's kind of what we thought coming in, right?
Definitely not a takeover match, whereas I think the six-man tag just felt a little underwhelming.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe. I mean, it was still really good.
Yeah, right. Like, good. But, like, I feel like it's like you were saying.
We were
right?
expecting it to be a little bit
right.
crazy.
Martinez crucifix DDT thing was a highlight. Good for Lee for getting her first takeover win, but I don't think this match needed to be here. with all due respect.
No.
The post-match wasn't great. This seems to be leaning towards Tian Sha wrestling, which is the opposite of what I want. Because I think if that happens, I'll have no time for the storyline, because I feel like it'll be supernatural, but in, like, a bad way, where it's confusing and, like, over the top.
Right.
And, like, I think this women's division's really good. It's got some good wrestling here. I think just, like, an invincible Tian Sha, who's, like, supposed to be the soulless being, right? Like, Mei Ying sold her soul to, like, the Tian Sha thing, right? I feel like, having this invincible character kind of thing would kind of ruin it.
Well, she's even... It's, like, the problem I talked about with Xia Li, and it would be even worse, right? Like...
Yeah,
you're
I think this
one,
like, Xia Li's at least a normal person.
But she still had this super training by these elite martial arts things. So how can she ever really lose to a normal human? And Tian Sha would be even more than that, right? Because she's some sort of supernatural who can, like, blow smoke and, I don't know, with their Tongan death grip. So it's just really hard to book her or to see her lose if that's kind of the gimmick they're going with. So we'll see. I thought that this was a decent match, a nice pay-per-view start for Lee, I guess. It still could have been on TV instead of a pay-per-view, like you said, for sure, but it at least held my interest. They tried to tell a bit of a story with the midsection and leg selling, and there was some cool offense displayed by both of them. I thought it was good, but not great. Exceeded my expectations a little bit, but would I prefer they had built something else to put in this
or
spot?
I think given something... Like, more time to something else.
Yeah, but I mean, you want to have five matches, I think,
at least. Yeah.
But I wish that, I mean, this isn't up to, I don't think, a normal takeover standards. And I think it was a decent effort and it didn't look bad, but it's not a real takeover match, I don't think. We then get Ciampa and Thatcher. They're angry and yelling about grizzled young veterans and being grown men who will show how dangerous they are in 48 hours as those teams will face off on this week's NXT. We then get a brief history. Sorry, video on the history of the Million Dollar Championship with a voiceover by DiBiase himself. Basically, they're trying to say the honor of the title is worth more than its extremely high value,
right?
As it's,
yeah, it's
made out of gold and diamonds.
DiBiase's son, Priest, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Virgil. So it's very prestigious and honored title.
Yes. Then we get highlights of all of the Grimes Knight DiBiase segments that have been happening in the lead up to this match that I've sort of found underwhelming, amusing at times, but not super engaging and funny. DiBiase walks to the ring with two security guards, and none of them are Jake Atlas, unfortunately.
unfortunately. he's got the $1 million ton, like a glass with the call briefcase, but it's just really a case with a handle, and
they hang it in that,
which I'm like, is that really necessary?
It's kind of funny. I think they're saying, like, that title's so much more valuable and whatever that you can't just... hang it up.
Yeah, you can.
Put it in a protective case.
Protecting it from what?
Solid gold and diamonds. You can't risk that.
Yeah, it's literally worth $1 million, which is why WWE would commission
it.
And replicas.
Which by 2021 standards probably isn't that much anymore.
Right.
You know? I mean, back then,
they say it's one of a kind, except for the replicas.
That's right. So we do get LA Knight versus Cameron Grimes in a ladder match for the $1 million championship that is hanging in a plexiglass case above the ring.
It probably is plexiglass, knowing WWE, just like their history. Yeah, probably plexiglass.
So DiBiase's sitting at ringside for this match. The finishing sequence kind of saw Knight try to powerbomb Grimes from a ladder. Grimes counters in midair, sends Knight to the floor. Grimes then climbs the ladder, but Knight tips it over, and Grimes is sent over the ropes onto a ladder bridge that had been set up earlier, sort of spanning from the ropes to another ladder, right?
On the stage, because as we've mentioned, it's level, flush
with the ring. Looked really painful. Knight then climbs the ladder, grabs the hanging briefcase to disappoint those of us at FNS Wrestling, but maybe not everybody else. DiBiase then officially hands Knight the $1 million belt after the match. Some notable stuff in this. Grimes, this sounds weird, but he did a really good job of moving out of the way of ladders. Like, they were just missing him a couple times.
I think Knight had some cool bits where, I just accidentally closed my tab, where, like, he would just absolutely, like, chuck a ladder at Grimes, or, like...
Grimes would just miss it, or...
Or, like, not, like... Or, like, you'd hit him, like, kind of, like, drop it on his back or whatever.
Yeah, they were kind of well together, I thought. Knight got German suplexed into a ladder in the corner at one point. Knight... hit a neck breaker onto a ladder that was sort of on its side. It didn't look like that would have been a pleasant landing for either of them. Commentary, I noticed at some point, is really treating Grimes like a baby face at this point.
Which I don't really like.
I made a note about halfway through that the crowd's pretty dead for this. Knight gets Irish whipped head first into a ladder, looked pretty good. Knight gets backdropped onto a ladder. Knight gets thrown over the ropes onto a ladder that was spanning ringside that looked pretty good. These guys definitely, there was a lot of smashing into ladders in this match, really hard.
Yep.
Grimes wanted the gold ladder off the stage, which I predicted when it began that was going to be the ladder to get it done. Grimes hit a crossbody off the tower.
Yeah, they had to use the gold ladder.
At one point at ringside, what did you think of the match?
It was kind of what I expected. It started to pick up in the latter half, which was better, but overall it's decent. Outcome's not desirable. There's some decent ladder match or like ladder related offense. Nothing major interesting other than that final bump from Grimes.
Right.
Which looked pretty nasty. Oh, and the neck breaker was cool, I guess.
It was. Just because the ladder was on its side, it was kind of different.
This match wasn't bad, but wasn't the most interesting match. Perhaps didn't really earn the ladder stipulation, as ladder matches are known to be more action packed and hard hitting than this. And even like other 1-on-1 matches, like the Kyle O'Reilly Pete Dunne one, which is for a stupid War Games advantage.
I
like,
might
that
have preferred
was better.
That, actually. Yeah,
right, yeah, no, right. I for sure like that better. And that was a TV match. I don't love LA Knight winning either. I think this would be pretty funny if the $1 million title is a real title, but they're the only ones who care about it, which I think that'd be really funny.
And no one else even wants to fight him for
no
it.
No one even cares, right? So they just feud endlessly, which I think would actually kind of suck eventually, but...
My hope is he...
So although I'd rather the whole thing go away.
My hope is he takes it to main roster with him so that he can debut there with a belt, and there you go. I thought the first half of this was decent. The second half, I think you agreed, picked up, and I kind of got into it, actually. There was some crazy final bump by Grimes. It wasn't the outcome I wanted either, but Grimes, I thought, looked really good in defeat, and the crowd is really behind him, right? Which is what I thought was going to happen when crowds come back. He's just going to be really popular. It was a good match choice to put LA Knight in, because I don't think his technical ability... He doesn't need as much in a match like this where he can use ladders and a lot of it's climbing and pushing people off of things. The match ended up, I thought, being really fun. Each man was involved in some painful looking spots. My thing is, I don't know where we go from here with this title, right? And again, my idea was he debuts on Raw or SmackDown with it and gets out of NXT. But I'm a bit nervous that...
Feels like a main roster thing, right?
This title becomes like an afterthought or almost a joke or comedy, and that I don't want on NXT at all, but... I guess we'll see. So I think I ended up liking this match more than I thought I would. The second half I thought was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get Hit Row interrupt Pettengill, who's at the merch table. They sort of hype their own merch and their single that just got released. And I just thought they were awesome here. All of them take turns speaking. Theodonis started first, right? And I thought he did a really good job. I thought they all sounded great. And I still think they're maybe the coolest act in all of WWE, possibly. I mean, not that I watch everything, but they're really cool. I don't know if you have anything to say about that segment.
No, I liked it. I liked them. They were really cool here. And their single,
Have you listened to it?
Their theme.
Yeah.
It was just their
theme.
Just
a full version, right? Yeah. So the main event, more main event guys, I think this time it was specifically Cross and Dunn, are sort of being held apart backstage now because they just can't wait to get in the ring for that main event. Sorry, sip of coffee. Delicious.
You should be sorry.
We then get a promo package for the women's championship match. Moon speaks first, then Gonzalez, basically highlights and recaps of, I don't know, feud leading up to this. Strong word, kind of, but like their interactions leading up to this. And I thought it was a nice package to hype the match. Nothing crazy, but they always do a nice job in production. So it is Ember Moon versus Raquel Gonzalez for the NXT Women's Championship. So this one, near to finish, Moon hits Gonzalez with the Eclipse, but Kai, I thought, ran by perfectly and puts Gonzalez's foot on the bottom rope. Like, great timing, I thought. It's a small detail, but it honestly helps me. Shotzi Blackheart, Jack was super excited, makes her return here and attacks Dakota Kai at ringside. They continue to brawl kind of awkwardly up the ramp and out of sight.
That was dumb.
Not as awkward as, who was the other one that was awkward battling? Mm-hmm. Was it Archer and somebody, remember?
And Archer, they just like stopped. Luchasaurus, I think it was. They just like tussled. No, it was Luchasaurus and Sting.
The tussle, that's
I think
right.
it was.
So this was better
tussled
than that.
Tussled down the tunnel.
It wasn't great. Moon goes up top again looking for another Eclipse, but Gonzalez hits her with snake eyes on the top turnbuckle before following up with her one-armed powerbomb to secure the pinfall win and retain her title. Some notable stuff along the way. Gonzalez hit a twisting Vader bomb that looked kind of cool. It was like a Vader bomb into a senton, I think it was. Anyways, it looked cool. Code Red by Ember Moon. We had Kai.
Oh,
just,
yeah, it was. Her I little remember now.
Her little details were cool. At one point, Kai just pushing the ropes another few inches so that Gonzalez could grab them to get out of a submission, I thought was cool. There was a tornado DDT to the stage by Moon at one point that looked pretty good. So what did you think of this match?
I liked it. It was really good. The style contrast was pretty good with the powerhouse Gonzalez and
for sure.
The Ember Moon. Gonzalez looked great. Finish was pretty nice with her catching the Eclipse and then kind of like just like popping Ember Moon up into the one arm powerbomb. When Kai did the like classic put the foot on the rope, she did a really good job of like getting out of there. Like she dropped down perfectly.
You could almost believe the ref wouldn't get it. She flies in quickly, gets it up
just
perfectly, drops and
drops down,
down
like that.
So just
it was
detail.
Pretty impressive how like quick she was just in and
she
out.
She was
right?
good, man. She helped this.
Moon did good here too. I don't love her, but that's not really due to her in ring ability. I think it's always been like
ring,
outside the ring. She
I
hasn't
agree.
Really excelled.
I think she's good in the ring.
Mm-hmm. This is a great takeover of the match and a great example of how good this division is, I think.
Yeah, I feel like this is going to be the match that I liked more than some people if I start looking at reviews and stuff, because at this point, this was my favorite match on the show, I think. I'd have to go back again and maybe see the opener, but I think it's between these two. I really like this match. This one really felt like a takeover match to me for some reason. There was something just, I got more into this one. The previous matches weren't bad, and I don't feel they had the intensity of this match. There was something about this match that I sort of bought into it. Gonzalez was impressive array of power moves. She seems to add like something almost every match, it feels like, that I haven't seen before. Moon showed lots of fire, and she has some cool looking offense too. Like I said a bunch of times already, Kai's involvement was perfect. I thought this was a really good dominant monster heel versus resilient smaller underdog.
Yep.
I think
a good defense for Gonzalez, right?
For sure. She needed a quality
first defense,
win.
But then I was like, oh, Martinez, yeah.
I was glad to enjoy this so much because I felt like the Martinez-Gonzalez match was kind of a low point in Gonzalez for me. So this was a nice rebound from that. Really good performance here. And again, I knew Ember Moon wouldn't win, or I was fairly sure she wouldn't win, but I thought still this was an excellent match.
Mm-hmm.
Pettengill is back making some lame jokes. Like he's been living in a time capsule basically until tonight. The whole thing is kind of like he's, been frozen from the 90s until now kind of thing. He plays Karate Fighters with Dexter Loomis, and Loomis cheats, doesn't he? Rip the grabs.
Or like, I think
he grabs Pettengill's guy
Pettengill
or something.
Pettengill said he, like, what you been up to lately or something, I think it was. And Loomis got mad and grabbed his thing, which sucks because I wanted to see who would actually win the...
You were more interested in that match than the Xia Li match?
Yeah,
maybe?
Probably.
We get a video... Quick promoting the main event. Then we see that Shotzi and Dakota Kai are being separated backstage now. So that feud's going to continue, it looks like. And we move into the main event, which is Johnny Gargano, Pete Dunne, Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Karrion Kross. The defending champion is Kross. So this one, the finishing sequence to this pretty insane match, I thought, saw Cole super kick Dunne and Gargano off the ring apron. Cole then misses the last shot on Kyle, who fights back and applies a leg hook submission on Cole. Cross pounces on both of them to apply the straight jacket submission to O'Reilly. O'Reilly fades while in Cross's submission, which causes O'Reilly to release the hold he has on Cole. Kyle continues to fade, and eventually the referee calls for the bell and declares Karrion Kross the winner. He retains the NXT Championship. Some notes I had from this.
Kross should not have won.
There's a million things I could have put in here, so I definitely didn't hit all the highlights because I thought this match was pretty nuts.
No, I even thought of one you missed.
As you pointed out, Gargano was in full Shawn Michaels mode.
Yeah, I saw like this white black pattern on his knee pad. I'm like, okay, what is he doing? And then I see his entrance gear with like the strap, the dangly doodads.
It was like the mirrored and vest.
It was like that Shawn Michaels literally is worn. I'm like, oh, nice, Jonathan.
It was
nice.
Dunn then Smooth. Also looked sharp, right?
He was wearing the all white, which I was excited because that's a winning attire,
including
color.
The entrance gear with the white fur on it and everything.
Right, that's
right?
A winning attire. But
basically,
O'Reilly was wearing a pretty sleek, like a steel gray attire.
He was,
which looked pretty nice. And Cole was wearing a green.
Cross
and gold.
Was wearing his leather, whatever that is.
Cross looked dumb. Everyone else looked better.
So Cross dominates everybody early. The crowd is kind of silent. I noticed at this after. They were into the women's match. I sort of checked in with the crowd here and there, and they were sort of hot and cold, I found, on this show. O'Reilly then gets his turn to dominate everybody, looked really good. Cross, a little bit later, gets shoved through the door at the top of the ramp, and that eliminates him from the action for a bit. And we're not trying to be mean and pile on to the guy, because you know we don't like him. But this
but
is
I
one
really
of the spots
like
where
him.
The action really picks up for a little bit,
yeah,
right?
No, I don't love him, we know that. But, right. Like, I honestly, like... Not because of my hate of him, but I genuinely was really liking the match when he was not there.
It definitely picked up. So we get a really nice counter of a bitter end into a DDT by Gargano, who then lawn darts Dunn into O'Reilly and Cole were sort of tangled up in the corner, right? One was in the Tree of Woe and then something else. So Dunn gets lawn darted into them. That was cool. The pace things picks up and things kind of get way more fun when Cross is taken out. It happens a couple times throughout this match, right? Mm-hmm. We get a crazy spinning release of Gargano from a fireman's carry by Cross at one point.
Almost like an F10.
Nice DDT on the floor by Gargano to Dunn as Gargano dives through the ropes. Cross gets taken out on the floor and things get really fun again with a bunch of double moves by the other four men. There's just like things happening nonstop in the ring as Cross is down. Cross is back with a German suplex for each man. But as you predicted, Pete Dunne lands. Jack's literally like, which one of them can land on his feet? Pete Dunne can probably land on his feet. And he does.
And Pete Dunne does it.
And he kicks Cross in the head.
And I couldn't remember why I knew that. And then because he does that thing where like they sit and then he just absolutely obliterates their face.
Right.
With the kicks. So and I was like, that's why I remember that.
O'Reilly and Cole, in what I thought was kind of a cool moment, they kind of look at each other and have to work together. So they grab Cross on the outside and powerbomb him on the announce table. It doesn't break, but it still looked really nice.
It almost looked, I feel like that would hurt more because it's just it's almost like, it would be like powerbombing onto a brick instead of like a karate board.
Yeah, you expect it to give and that sort of
it
breaks
just
your fall.
Give, right.
And it does not.
It would be like, honestly, like, I don't know, you know what I mean? Because, like, the boards are supposed to break eventually.
Right.
But it'd be, like, being powerbombed on, like, a hard floor or something.
Yes, it would be. Cole hits his Panama Sunrise at one point. I forget to who. We get a brainbuster to Cole on the floor by Pete Dunne that looked cool. The crowd at one point is really behind Pete Dunne. Oh, is where he was about to face off with Cross. They sort of get their chance
to
get face-to-face.
Yeah,
to
his credit, he was not afraid of him, which I think
was not at all.
Awesome.
We get a bitter end to Cross for a near fall that was cool. Dunne then breaks out of the Cross jacket by grabbing Cross's fingers, among other things, and that took us to the finish that we already talked about with Karrion Kross defending his title. What did you think of this match, sir?
I love this. This is awesome, especially when Cross wasn't in there, not to pile on him, but
no.
It doesn't really come as a surprise to me. There were some awesome parts. They had, like, the four of them got into a strike exchange, which was reminiscent of that triple threat.
Yeah.
Just you're throwing an Adam Cole there, which is only going to make it better.
And there's parts where we're just watching going, oh!
Exactly,
yeah. That's
yes.
What I want when
or,
I
Or, like, when
wrestling.
They were hitting, like, remember they were, like, kind of hitting double moves? Like, there
yes.
was, like, the super kick into the Poison Rana.
Yes.
Or, like, Dunn got hit with, like, a double super kick in the Moonsault. There was, like, the
yes.
Regal Plex.
This is why I like kick. Talking about stuff the day after. I still remember
yeah.
all this. Yeah,
there
it
was just,
cool.
like, they... There's like a sequence where they're all hitting double moves on one person and like Like, it was just so awesome.
There were some really fun sequences.
And when Don took that DDT, when Gargano countered the bitter end again, Don might honestly be one of the best DDT sellers now. Like, he's just straight down. So good. And, like, the way he grabs his head after selling it like a freaking champ, like, it makes him more believable.
I was just thinking, like, I saw someone take a DDT really
badly. He lands square on his head and flips over, and then, like, he kind of grabs us.
I feel like it was Gallows.
I think it was Gargano. I think he had a super kick on, I think it was Don.
Yes.
And so then he got thrown off the pin by Cole, but he landed on the apron. And then when there was the kick out, then Gargano immediately hits a final beat on Cole.
Right.
Which I thought was awesome as well. And when Dunn hit a bitter end on Cross, I was, one, kind of impressed, and I got really excited for a second.
Me too, because that move's fairly protected.
And then I got really scared when Dunn got locked in the cross jacket, but I was happy because he did the finger thing to escape.
Did you feel like he's the guy that they're,
yeah,
me too, positioning next? Because he got out of Cross's finisher, hit his finisher on Cross.
I feel like then it'd be kind of a weird heel-heel dynamic.
He didn't tap out or get pinned.
Right, that's true.
But I feel like people are cheering Dunn, and that might be good enough. Like, they know I wonder how they feel about the reaction Cross got here, because I don't think people were really into him.
Right.
But, I mean, that we're biased, so who knows?
There are four much more liked competitors in
right.
their heel
in the NXT
face.
Circles, I think, for sure. Maybe right. not.
The finish was fine, but made me really sad, because I would have been really happy for Kyle if he had won, although I would have been a little sad if Cole lost.
Right.
But when Cross got Riley in the cross jacket while he had a Cole in the heel hook,
yes.
I knew it was over. Especially, I think the commentary even made the point, like, I think O'Reilly held on to the hold too long, because, like, if he had let go already, he could have maybe flipped over, or, like,
yes.
Cole could have broken it up, but obviously this was the planned finish.
Yep.
This was the perfect opportunity to get the title off Cross and give it to someone better, while keeping Cross looking strong before
anyone
he gets
better.
Shipped off the main roster, but they really screwed the pooch on that.
Yep.
If Cross was better, I would have been more okay with his domination in parts, but still an awesome match with a terrible result, but still a pretty epic match. I don't think the result can really take away from it.
No, not completely taint it, right? I also thought this was an awesome match. I thought it was really well laid out, and that they executed things amazingly.
And the ways they took out Cross, like, as much as I don't like
yes.
him, you do need a decent way to take him out, like,
yes.
putting him through the door or putting him on the announce table. Like,
yes.
they at least put him out in, like, believable and pretty good ways, I think.
Yeah, and Cross got to look dominant at various times, which is good. Then he would be gone for stretches to let the workers work, as I sort of put it, and they did, for sure. A ton of crazy offense, combo moves. Nice reluctant cooperation, I like that, between Cole and O'Reilly to take out Cross. The result was kind of the last thing I wanted, but I still loved the match. I thought it was a great TakeOver main event. And I was just like, imagine if take Cross out, who we don't find the issue with Cross for us, or part of the issue with Cross for us, I'll speak for both of us, correct
yep.
me if I'm wrong, is that he's this big, intimidating looking guy.
Right,
but
literally part of his offense is he's like this hard hitter, and like it's really hard to like
that
get
believable.
Right, like one of my easiest like flaws in his offense is that he just doesn't follow through with the forearm. It just like he kind of comes to a halt. He
right.
really just doesn't like put like I guess effort into
right.
it.
Right. So like, think about how good this match was, and I think how well it was laid out, and substitute.
Imagine if Cross was good.
An actual dominant monster. So I know he wasn't amazing in the ring, but put in peak Goldberg here, because Goldberg had physical charisma. He had like explosive power, and a lot of his stuff
or
looked like it really hurt. Because
a modern one I could think of that would just be awesome in a dominant role is
Lesnar.
Luchasaurus.
Yeah. Or
just because he has, like, awesome offense.
Like, peak Goldberg or Lesnar
or Lashley.
Lesnar
would work, yeah.
If one of those guys were in here, because the way the match was booked was awesome. It was basically, like, they needed to get Cross out of the way and settle it among the rest of them. It's just that Cross isn't super believable as that guy. So that, for me, stops it from being, like, an absolute barn burner amazing match. Because it's just, like, and it... Even Cole talked about it in his promos, right? This guy can't hang with them in the ring.
He can't.
If he were a more believable monster, like give me peak Brock Lesnar in there, and I think this match would be amazing, because I believe that they need to take this guy out, and if they don't, they don't have a chance. So I love the way the match was laid out. I thought it executed everything really well. I just wish I believed in Cross a little bit more as this monster champion. That would have added just another layer to it for me, but still an excellent match for sure, I thought. I think that's the best match on the show at this point. Like, I like the women's match up to this point, but I think this
yep.
was the best match on the show. So following the main event, there's a little bit after that. We see general manager William Regal sort of talking to McKenzie, and he's really down and upset. He says he's never seen such madness during his 7-year tenure in NXT. He hints at sort of leaving NXT, mentions that
you can see like tears on his face, yeah. Or like already have been.
And a change is coming, and that someone else will replace him, and he walks off to end the show. I've also heard
Samoa Joe returning to NXT in a non-wrestler role. So
yeah, that would be cool for him.
Yeah, which sucks, because I always liked Regal.
Me too. Like, he's been there a long time.
Right, so, I mean, he has had a pretty good run, at least.
So I'm wondering if, like, this whole he's been losing control was intentional, or they just sort of noticed that, and you know what I mean? Because somebody mentioned it in a promo, right? Was it Cross, I think, who was basically like, you've lost control.
Cross or Cole, I think.
Because people seem to be making matches and picking stipulations and stuff a little, and there's just more chaos, I guess, generally. But, I mean, NXT's always been a dangerous mm-hmm. place. The parking lot is crazy.
That is true.
But anyways, we'll see where that goes. If it's Samoa Joe in that role, I'm fine with it. If he's not going to wrestle, I would love to have him on NXT. I think he'd be really good. He could be like a tough baby face. I really hope they don't go heel.
Why?
Authority figure.
Sorry. I thought
not
you meant,
if he's,
a,
if he's an authority figure, it's just been
sorry,
done.
I thought you were talking about wrestler. No, because, yeah, I heard he's not a wrestler. I feel like he could be like, no, because I think NXT works with just like, because Regal's like, does what he should.
Yeah.
I think Joe should do that too, but maybe like, I don't know. Joe could make it his own.
He could do a similar thing. They're both like really tough guys. Like Regal is a super tough guy in real life and sort of in kayfabe, but so Joe can kind of carry that as well. I guess we'll see. Overall thoughts on this show?
So I thought it was a pretty good show. I liked the opener. I thought it was pretty good. Lee versus Martinez was fine. Don't think it needed to be here, though.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Ladder match didn't start off the best, but picked up and was good, although not my favorite match. Women's cell match was great and thoroughly enjoyable. Good defense for Gonzalez. Main event was awesome, especially when Cross was removed, but I was very unhappy with the result, but that doesn't take away from the match. Overall, good and enjoyable show. But the ladder match and Lee versus Martinez felt more like TV matches / feuds. And the women's title match and six-man tag could have been improved slightly. So overall, like a high B+, in my opinion.
Really? Nice.
And I think it falls just short of the range. I think maybe if you threw in that tornado tag match, I think that would have helped. And maybe improved those two matches, I said. Because I think some slight takeaways. I thought an A- might be a little too high, so.
I'm kind of
on the edge.
Right. I overall enjoyed this show quite a bit, too. I thought the opener was really fun. The women's championship match and the main event were excellent, the main event probably being my favorite match. In between, I thought the ladder match was very good, especially the second half. Lee Martinez match was solid, which I'm noticing is becoming one of my words. It was solid, right? Like to say, like, to avoid saying fine, probably. It somewhat was misplaced on a takeover, I agree. There was no furthering of the Indy Loomis storyline, which was a pleasant surprise for me, because I kind of thought we might be getting that, but we did not. So I also gave this show a B+, really enjoyable, especially the final two matches. But the reason it's not an A pay-per-view for me is there was no must-see match going into this, and there definitely have been in many takeovers. Like, yes, I was looking forward to the main event, but it wasn't like, I don't know, like a DIY Revival or a Gargano Cole or stuff
or
like that, right?
Gargano Ciampa, Gargano, all
like just ones where you can't miss it sort of thing.
Like the 5-way was pretty good, and it's probably like up there, like if you were to go like top 50, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, because I know they did like top 50 women or tag team or whatever, but like, not right, like not like a can't miss.
No, but an excellent
as much
match,
as I loved it.
Nonetheless, I would say the in-ring product was excellent on this show. Some of the build-ups to the matches weren't my favorite. Like the Lee Martinez was kind of like, hey, you guys have had a match, so that's the story. I appreciated some story, but that's not a lot. The Grimes Knight stuff I didn't enjoy as much as I want, and even the Moon Gonzalez build to some extent was kind of felt really quick and just like we need to get Gonzalez a quality win in her reign right now, because I think they plan on having her reign for a while. So my hope is they just rebuild Io to face her again. But anyways, we'll see. So yeah, I thought this was a B+ pay-per-view as well. Really enjoyable. Like, you tune in for a takeover, it's going to be 5 matches. Like, 3 of them are probably going to be excellent, and the other 2 are probably going to be good to really good, right? There's never really any clunkers or garbage. So yeah, I really enjoyed the show, like I always do. Mm-hmm. Anything else we need to talk about? I don't think so, right?
I don't think so.
We're going to talk about Impact Wrestling at some point against all odds. We will definitely be back on Saturday on the main show to talk about what do we talk about? AEW Dynamite and NXT and Impact Wrestling and some trivia and some wrestling figure talk and some news and rumors and whatever else, right, buddy? Mm-hmm. Well, I think I'm going to sign off quickly because this is my second podcast of the day, and I'll get this thing up and published. We'll get it online and see if anybody likes it. But as we always say, thanks for spending any amount of time with us as we sit here and talk about wrestling. We really do appreciate it. Feel free to contact us if you can. Our contact information is listed on wherever you're listening to this. We'd love to hear any feedback from you. And I think we will probably put something out in the next couple days, but if not, we'll definitely be back down here on Saturday. So yep. Until we see you, take care.